الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أخبرني عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خرج يخبر بليلة القدر فتلاحى رجلان من المسلمين فقال إني خرجت لأخبركم بليلة القدر وإنه تلاحى فلان وفلان فرفعت وعسى أن يكون خيرا لكم التمسوها في السبع والتسع والخمس رواه البخاري. سيدنا أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه says that Ubadah ibn Samit رضي الله تعالى عنه informed me that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم came out of his mu'takaf. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم came out from that place which was designated for i'tikaf during the month of Ramadan. He was in i'tikaf, he was in seclusion. And there was a partition between him and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majmain. So he came out of seclusion. He came out from that place which was designated for i'tikaf. And he came out, يُخْبِرُ بِلَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, informing the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majmain in regard to Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr, the night of power. Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. It rotates during the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. Laylatul Qadr could be the 21st night, it could be the 22nd, it could be the 23rd. Laylatul Qadr can fall on any of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for wisdom best known to him, has kept it a secret. And there are many benefits in not letting the ummah know as regards to the exact night in the last 10 days or last 10 nights when Laylatul Qadr will fall. One very good reason is that if we all knew that this year Laylatul Qadr would be the 22nd night, or Laylatul Qadr would be the 27th night, or Laylatul Qadr would be the 21st night. Then we would have only appreciated that particular night. And we would have become lax, relaxed, lazy. And we would have worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the other 9 nights as a normal worshipper. And we would have appreciated that particular night which was designated for Laylatul Qadr. But it is a secret. We don't know when Laylatul Qadr will fall. So we try to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible during every night of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. This is one wisdom, this is one hikmah, or this is one benefit. So nobody knows which night is Laylatul Qadr, but it rotates in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. This particular year, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam came out of his mu'takaf to inform the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain in regard to Laylatul Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that this particular year Laylatul Qadr will fall on this night. So in order to inform the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came out of the mu'takaf immediately. And it was in his mind, he knew that Laylatul Qadr will fall on this particular night. So he came out to inform the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, فَتَلَاحَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He was yet to inform the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majma'in when a dispute arose between two Sahabi. Two Sahaba argued amongst themselves. A dispute arose between two individuals from the Muslim community. They argued, they quarreled. According to Ibn Dihya, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the two Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala ali majma'in, were Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrad, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and Ubay ibn Ka'ab, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. They argued. Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had taken a loan from Ka'b ibn Malik, not Ubay ibn Ka'b, Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He had taken a loan from Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. And he was finding it difficult to repay his loan. So Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu demanded his loan from Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he may have demanded his loan from Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrad radiyallahu anhu on various occasions before as well. This may not have been the first instance. That is why it resulted into a quarrel, into a dispute, into an argument. Now, demanding one's loan from somebody is not detestable. It is your right. and to refuse to pay the loan because you don't have the ability to is also one's right. So Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat radiyallahu anhu was saying, I can't pay you the money at this precise moment. It's not possible. And Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu was saying, no, I want my money. It's been a long time, you've been saying no, no, no. So remaining within a limit and to demand your money, it is not detestable. It is not disliked. It is not a sin. And to defend your position and say, I can't pay you at the moment, sorry. Remaining within limits. There is nothing wrong. But whenever an argument takes place, there is always a possibility that the two people arguing will go out of the boundary, will exceed the boundary. One may say those words which are inappropriate. One may even become physical. And this is exactly what happened in this case also. They were both in the Masjid-e-Nabawi. So they were in the masjid. They were in the masjid. In the month of Ramadan. In the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And both of them were under control. They were Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. But as a result of this dispute, as a result of this argument, their voices were raised. And to raise one's voice above the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is not permissible. So from this aspect, from this angle, this argument, this dispute became impermissible. And because it became impermissible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alihi majma'in from the information that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was going to give them in regard to the specific night in which Laylatul Qadr was going to fall. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forget the night. So when he came out, he knew the specific night in which Laylatul Qadr was going to fall. And as a result of this argument, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away this knowledge from his mind. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter said, Inni kharajtu liukhbirakum bi laylatil qadr. I came out to inform you in regard to laylatul qadr. Wa innahu talaha fulanun wa fulanun, but so and so, such and such a person argued, they quarreled. And their argument did not remain within the Shari'i framework. It exceeded the Shari'i limits. So farufi'at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away the knowledge in regard to Laylatul Qadr from my heart and mind. So I too now don't know when Laylatul Qadr is going to fall. In the previous majlis, we have discussed this hadith And we have gone through the full hadith. And we have understood the contents of the hadith. This is the gist of what I had said earlier. One very important lesson that we learn from this hadith, and it is this lesson which I would like to discuss today, is that disputes, quarrels and fights deprive the individual and also the whole community from the barakah and the khair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for them. If the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain came to know of that particular night, that tonight is Laylatul Qadr, imagine the level of their devotion and the level of their commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of that devotion and as a result of that commitment, imagine the khair and the barakah they would have acquired. But they were deprived. Why? Because of two Muslim brothers quarreling. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam desires that the Muslim community remains united. They don't quarrel. They don't fight. They don't argue. Difference of opinion is okay. Difference of opinion. But when difference of opinion turns into a dispute, when difference of opinion turns into a quarrel, when difference of opinion turns into an argument, when difference of opinion turns into a fight, then this is something which is very, very detrimental for the Muslim community or for any community, and it is very much disliked by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اِقْتَتَلُوا وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اِقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If we very carefully study the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an Majid, and if we very carefully look at the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged every Muslim to carry out all those actions which encourage peace, harmony and love between two individuals. And the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam discourage all those actions which become a cause of disunity. Disunity to whatever extent. If one is ill, go and visit him. Now when you go and visit somebody who is sick, who is ill, love will increase between the two individuals, between the two families. If there was any past misunderstanding, those misunderstandings will go away. People will come close to each other as a result of this one deed. If somebody passes away, participate in the funeral.
And virtues have been mentioned. If a person performs the Salatul Janazah of his Muslim brother, Muslim sister, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this person one qirat. And one qirat is greater, one qirat reward. And one qirat is greater than the Mount Uhud. And if a person after performing Salatul Janazah remains until the burial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him two qirat. It is encouraging every individual to go and perform Salatul Janazah and thereafter to remain until the burial. Why? It will bring the two families together. It will bring two individuals together. It will remove misunderstandings, past misunderstandings. Any deed, any amal that was instrumental in creating harmony, peace, unity, love, or increasing these things, our Sharia has encouraged it. And any deed which was detrimental for harmony, for peace, for love, our Sharia has discouraged it. So the first thing we need to do, my friends, is to make a firm resolution that we will exercise sabr, exercise patience, we will become tolerant, and we will make sure that we don't argue with anybody. We don't quarrel with anybody. We don't fight with anybody. We don't become physical with anybody. If we have to give away our right, we will give away our right. But we will abstain from arguments. We will abstain from disputes. We will abstain from quarrels. We will abstain from fights. We may lose something, but as a result, we will acquire a lot of barakat and a lot of khair. We may see ourselves losing something, but the amount of barakat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us and the amount of khair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us, when we will see the benefits of this barakat and this khair in this world and also in the hereafter, we will not be able to comprehend what we have achieved. If the other party is at fault, we will stay away from disputes. We will stay away from quarrels. We will stay away from arguments. We will stay away from fights. We will forgive the other party. If we are at fault, in order to prevent disputes, in order to prevent arguments, in order to prevent quarrels, in order to prevent fights, we will accept our mistake and we will ask for forgiveness. We will try to make up for the damage we have caused to the other party. I always tell friends that we should take every step very, very carefully in our day-to-day life. Anything we do, anything we say, be very, very careful, so much so that our aim should be, we may not become successful, but the aim should be that I want to live my life in such a way that I don't have to say sorry neither to the Creator nor to the creation. This is the type of life I want to live. Pure from sins, so that I don't have to say, "Oh Allah, forgive me." Even after remaining pure, we will say, "Oh Allah, forgive me," because tawbah and istighfar has other benefits also. It is for this reason, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, despite being pure and immune from sins, would repent, 70 times, 100 times in a day. Because there are other benefits of Tawbah and Istighfar. To acquire those benefits, we will say sorry to Allah. We will make Istighfar. But our aim should be that I do not want to say, oh Allah, forgive me because I have made an error. I want to try my utmost not to commit a sin. We are humans. We are prone to committing mistakes. We are not immune. We are not anbiya. We will make mistakes. But this should be our aim. That I do not want to do anything where I have to say sorry to Allah or to the creation. I do not want to make a mistake. But if I do make a mistake, if it is in regard to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will immediately say sorry to Allah. I will immediately make tawbah. I will immediately make istighfar. And if I make a mistake which affects any of my Muslim brothers or human brothers, then I will immediately accept my mistake and apologize. And not only say sorry, which is the norm of today, sorry. We say sorry, whether the person accepts our sorry or not. If we violate somebody's right, then we have to apologize in such a way that that person forgives our mistake. That person says, okay, I have forgiven you. That person becomes happy. Then only we will be forgiven in the hereafter. But nowadays when we tell somebody, that's apologize. Sort your matter out. I said sorry. So saying sorry doesn't mean anything. So number one, we will try our utmost not to make any mistake in regard to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor the rights of His creation. And if we do slip, if we do make a mistake, we will accept our mistake in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in front of our Muslim brother, human brother, sister, and we will say, I'm sorry, it is my mistake, please forgive me. And we will remain humble until that person forgives us. And if somebody else makes a mistake and violates our right, we will not wait for that person to say sorry to us. Before that person can say sorry to us, before that person can apologize to us, we will wholeheartedly forgive that person for the pleasure of Allah. So let us try our utmost to follow this principle, to follow this advice that I always give to my friends, my associates, those who come in these gatherings. And especially in regard to disputes and quarrels, we will try our utmost not to quarrel with anybody. A person came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and he started accusing him. You are like this and you are like this, you did this and you did that. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a very clean hearted person. And he was only accusing Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was slandering Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu very quietly listened to whatever he had to say. He remained silent. If you want to avoid quarrel, then the person who is speaking against you, let him carry on speaking. For how long will he speak? Let him say whatever he wants to. Exercise patience. Exercise sabr. Become resistant. Become tolerant. And at that precise moment, don't listen to whatever he is saying. Turn your attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remind yourself of all the good things that Allah is preparing for you whilst you are exercising this sabr. then this abuse, which is very bitter, will become very sweet. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala did not say anything. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala knew that my opponent is at fault. But he didn't say anything. He remained silent. After a very lengthy abuse, because action has reaction and reaction has another reaction, but there was no reaction from Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, so he became silent also. So now came the turn of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu to say something. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu said, that if I have those bad qualities in me which we have mentioned, then I pray to Allah that may Allah forgive me. Because I am bad. If I possess those qualities which you have mentioned, that you are like this, you are like this, you are like, then I am a bad person. And I need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I have those bad qualities which you have mentioned in me, then I ask Allah to forgive me. And if I don't have those qualities, then you have accused me and you have slandered me, so you have become bad. So I ask Allah to forgive you. This is the result of tazkiyah. Sabr. To talk about sabr is very easy. But when the crunch comes, then we will not be able to practice patience. We will become impatient. We will lose control over ourselves. So we will not go into argument with anybody. If we cannot control ourselves, we will walk away. وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Those people who behave like ignorant people and who cannot discuss things with us sensibly, then we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother, I have something else to do. Inshallah, we will meet later. Assalamu alaikum. Salamun alaikum la nabtagil jahilin. We will not go into any dispute with anybody. As soon as we realize I am at mistake, we will apologize. So it doesn't lead to quarrel, it doesn't lead to dispute, it doesn't lead to argument, it doesn't lead to fight. Because fight is something which is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Argument is dislike. So we need to stay away from arguments, from disputes, from quarrels, from fights. So I will immediately apologize. I will accept my mistake and apologize. Sort the matter out as soon as possible. Don't let it settle in the heart of the other party. And if he is at fault, then I will not wait for him to ask for forgiveness. I will not wait for him to apologize. I will forgive. And when he comes to me to apologize, I will say, brother, my heart is clear. I have forgotten everything. Don't worry. These things happen. You are my brother. Sometimes in anger we say things which we don't mean. Don't worry. And number three, if it is a case where we are not involved, but two other individuals are arguing, two other individuals are quarreling, two other individuals are fighting, two individuals or two communities, two groups, then we will try to reconcile and create harmony between the two of them. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever it came to his knowledge that these two particular individuals are arguing or quarreling, or there is a fight between the two of them, or these two groups or these two families, he would immediately go and try to reconcile and create harmony between the two of them. We find a hadith in Bukhari Sharif that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Quba. Why did he go to Quba? لِيُسْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Because a quarrel took place between a few individuals. Argument took place. Fight took place. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to reconcile between the two parties and create harmony. Because if you leave it for too long, then it becomes difficult for both parties to reconcile. Immediately he went. And it was so important to him, reconciling between these two groups was so important to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that he could not return to Madina Munawwara at the time of Salat. And Bilal radiyallahu anhu, after calling out the adhan, when he saw that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not here, he went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, "Oh Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not returned. Please lead the salat." This is how important reconciling between two Muslims or two groups of Muslims or two groups of community was. Nowadays, the Muslim Ummah has not become parts. We have become fragments. Fragments. Why? Because we do not follow either of the three principles. If we make a mistake, we can't accept our mistake. If we do accept our mistake, we cannot say sorry. We cannot apologize. If someone else makes a mistake and he apologizes, we cannot forgive. And number three, when we see dispute where we are not involved, then we become spectators. If a dispute arises between two brothers, the third brother will become a spectator. And there are two reasons for it. One reason is that we've become careless. Why should I bother? It's their problem. And number two, sometimes even if you are bothered, it's not very easy to get involved with anybody because people will say, "Mind your own business." The Quran says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, if two groups from the believers اقتتلوا, fight verbally or physically, فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا, reconcile between them and create harmony between them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the mu'mineen that all of you should get together and reconcile between these two groups. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِهْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِهْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Muslim community, if it is a Muslim rule, Allah is telling the Muslim ruler, the Amirul Mu'mineen, the Khalifatul Muslimin, that if two groups of Mu'mineen fight amongst themselves, then arbitrate. Tell them to stop. Try to sort the matter out. And if one group surrenders, one group agrees that, okay, fine, I will not fight. If they put down their arms, one group, and the other group continues to remain aggressive, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِمْ بَغَتْ إِهْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. If one group remains aggressive upon the other, the ruler of the Muslim state and the Muslim ummah, they get involved and they try to reconcile between the two parties, and one party agrees, fine, we will not fight. And the other party continues to be aggressive. فَقَاتِلُ الَّتِي تَبْغِي. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the ruler and the Muslim Ummah to wage war against this party which is not surrendering. Until when? Hatta tafiya ila amrillah. Until it makes a U-turn and returns to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa'in fa'at fa'aslihu baynahuma. If they also agree to put the weapons down, then now reconcile between the two parties. Listen to both parties now and reconcile. And further Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innamal mu'minuna ikhwatun. The believers are deeni brothers. Innamal mu'minuna, the believers are deeni brothers. فَأَصْلِهُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So whenever you come across a dispute between your brothers, then reconcile and create harmony between brothers. And in this regard, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. The two people quarreling, they should also fear Allah. And the spectators should also fear Allah. If the spectators will fear Allah, they will get involved. If the two people disputing will fear Allah, they will reconcile. And as a result, Allah will shower mercy on all the three parties. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And now what does Allah say further? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of those actions which will lead to disputes. So Allah says, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ يَكُونُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. A group of men should not mock at another group of men. A group of women should not mock at another group of women. You should not make fun of each other, because making fun of each other will lead you to animosity. It will lead you towards disputes. It will lead you towards quarrels. It will lead you towards fights. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not find faults in each other. You are like this and you are like this. He is like this. He is like that. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not call each other with offensive names. اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. Abstain from excessive assumptions. Abstain from excessive suspicious thoughts. He did not do salam to me because he dislikes me. He did not reply to my salam because he dislikes me. He invited everybody and he did not invite me because he has something against me. Maybe he genuinely forgot. Maybe he did tell somebody to invite you, but this person forgot. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Why? Because suspicious thoughts, assumptions will lead us towards quarrels, arguments, disputes. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not spy. وَلَا يَكْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not backbite. All these things will lead us to disputes. Regarding disputes, regarding quarrels, regarding fights, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hiya al-haliqa. Hiya al-haliqa. What do we use to shave our heads? Razor. So fighting amongst yourselves, quarreling amongst yourselves, disputes, it is razor for your deen. It shaves away the deen, it takes away the deen from your lives. Because as a result of this dispute, we will do so many wrong things. There is a dispute between the two of us, so I will backbite. I will become jealous. I will slander. So many ills will come in our lives that as a result of these ills, the tawfiq to do good will be taken away. And we will accumulate so many sins that the many goods that we have done before will become insignificant in comparison to the good that to the bad that we are doing now.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, throughout his life,
one of his missions was to keep the ummah united.
And through the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not become divided. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And remember the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Allah mentions this as a very great favor. And remember the favor of Allah upon you. What is that favor? إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. You were enemies before Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakah of Islam, through the barakah of the Quran, and through the barakah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, has joined your hearts together. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And only through the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have become brothers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became the cause of this unity. He united the ummah. He strove to unite the ummah. He united the ummah. And he strove to keep the ummah united until his last breath. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Do this, do this, do this, do this. There are so many mustahab and sunnah acts which he has mentioned, as a result of which the ummah will remain united. When you meet each other, what should you do? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Why? Because Allah has put certain effects in the amal that we carry out. The effect of salam is that Allah will create a very strong bond of love between the two people who do salam to each other. لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. You will not be able to enter Jannah until you become complete believers. And you will not be able to become complete believers until you love each other. You cannot become complete believers until you love each other. Again, here encouragement that you have to love each other. And then he says, shall I not show you something which if you begin to practice, you will begin to love each other? The Sahaba must have said, Bala ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afshus salama baynakum, spread salam amongst you. Once an argument took place between a muhajir and a ansari. And when argument takes place, it's natural when you become angry and when you feel that it's getting too far now, so you will call your friends, he will call his friends. So the muhajir said, Ya lal muhajirin, Ya lal muhajirin, come to my help, O muhajirin. So the ansari said, Ya lal ansar, come to my help, O ansar. Come to my help, O ansar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was sitting relaxed in his tent. The cloth covering the top part of his body, he was lying on the floor. He used to wear a sheet to cover the top part of his body and a sheet to cover the bottom part of his body, like the clothes of ihram. So when a person is relaxed, then the sheet that is covering the top part of the body, the shawl that is covering the top part of the body, slips away from the body. So it was on the floor. And it takes a while to pick the shawl up and to wrap it around your body and to leave. But as soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard one person say, Ya lal ansar, and another person say, Ya lal muhajirin, dispute, argument, quarrel, fight. He got up. He got up from his place and he did not even cover his top part of the body. How did he
arrive at the scene, yajurru rida'ahu. He was pulling his sheep. He did not even waste a few moments, a few seconds. And he came and he said, da'uha fa'innaha muntinatun, fa'innaha muntinatun. Leave these words which you are calling out. Why? Because these words are dirty. These words are dirty. Why? Why are these words dirty? Muhajirin, Ansar. Very holy names. Very pure names. Allah calls them with these names over and over again in the Quran. But why? In this context, why are they dirty? Because this person was saying, Ya lal Muhajirin, to fight the Ansar. And he was saying, Ya lal Ansar, to fight the Muhajirin. They were both creating a border between the two names. So they became dirty in this context. He said, Dawuha. Ya lal Ansar, Ya lal Muhajirin. Dividing yourselves into groups. And dividing yourself in groups and we and they. No. Ansar, Muhajirin, they are all one. And he said, Al-Mu'minun, in another hadith, Al-Mu'minun akarajuni wahid. He said, all the believers are like one body. Limbs of the same body. In ishtaka aynuhu ishtaka kulluhu. If the eye becomes sick, if the eye pains, then the whole body experiences discomfort. وَإِنْ اِشْتَكَ رَأْسُهُ اِشْتَكَ كُلُّهُ. And if the head experiences pain, the whole body experiences discomfort. That is how you should live. The great poet of the East, Dr. Iqbal said, Manfaat ek hai is qaum ki, nuksan bhi ek. The profit of this nation is one, and the loss of this nation is one. This Muslim ummah, this Muslim nation. If one individual makes a profit, it is as if the whole nation has made profit. Everybody should become happy that my brother has made profit. And if one individual makes a loss in any corner of the world, the whole ummah should feel sad. Our brother has made a loss. The loss of this nation is one, and the benefit of this nation is one. Manfaat ek hai is qaum ki, nuksan bhi ek. Ek hi sabka nabi, deen bhi, iman bhi ek. Ek hi sabka nabi, deen bhi, iman bhi ek. The nabi of this nation is one. The deen of this nation is one. And the iman of this nation is one. Haram-e-paak bhi, Allah bhi, Quran bhi ek. The haram of this nation is one. The Allah of this nation is one. And the Quran of this nation is one. Everything is one. There is only one thing that is not one. The nation is not one. Kuch badi baat thi hote jo musalman bhi hai. Everything is one. The only thing that is not one is the nation. Yo to Sayyid bhi ho, Mirza bhi ho, Afghan bhi ho. When we have disputes, I am a Pakistani, I am an Indian, I am British, I am Arab, I am non-Arab, I belong to this family, I belong to that family. So in the context of Indian subcontinent, Dr. Iqbal said, you to Sayyid bhi ho, Mirza bhi ho, Afghan bhi ho. Some of you claim to be Sayyids, I belong to the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fine, you are Sayyid. I belong to the Mirza family. It was a very famous family. I am Afghani. You to Sayyid bhi ho, Mirza bhi ho, Afghan bhi ho, tum sabhi kuch ho. You are everything. I accept you are everything. You are a Pakistani, you are an Indian, you are this, you are that. I accept you are everything. But I have one question. You to Sayyid bhi ho, Mirza bhi ho, Afghan bhi ho, tum sabhi kuch ho. Zara batao, Musalman bhi ho. Tell me one thing, are you a perfect Muslim or not? When you go in the qabr, when you are resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will not question you, are you Pakistani, are you British, are you Indian, are you Arab, are you Sayyid, which family did you belong to? Allah will say, are you a Muslim or not? Allah will say, Mar Rabbuka, who is your Rabb? Allah will say, Ma Deenuka, what is your religion? Allah will say, Mar Rasulaka, who is your Rasul? These are the questions Allah will ask. Allah will want to see whether you are a perfect Muslim or not. Not whether you are Afghani, whether you are Pakistani, whether you are Hindi, whether you are Sindhi, whether you are Arabi, whether you are Ajami. Allah does not want to see those things. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wala ila ajsamikum. Allah does not look at your faces nor your bodies. Walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa amalikum. Allah looks at your hearts. What is in your heart? And what you are doing, good or bad. Allah looks at your deeds and actions. Innaka lasta bi khairin min ahmara wala aswad. Don't think that if I am white, if I am red, then I am superior. And don't think that if I am brown and if I am black, then I am superior. No. You cannot become superior because you are white or because you are black. Illa antafdulahu bi taqwa. You can become superior only through taqwa. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa unsa. We have created all of you from one male and one female. You are all brothers and sisters. Live like brothers and sisters. In the khutbatu hajjatul wada, in the sermon of the hajjatul wada, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abukum Adam wa ummukum Hawa. Your father is Adam and your mother is Hawa. Why these complexes, superiority, inferiority complex? Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabail. We have divided you into families and tribes. Why? Lita'arafu, so you are able to recognize each other. If we are divided into groups, into different tribes, it's more easier to recognize. Salim, 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 Salim. How will you recognize? Salim Dhorat, Salim Patel. It's easier to recognize. So you have been divided into groups so that you are able to recognize each other. As far as the element of superiority is concerned, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honorable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from amongst you is he who has the most taqwa. And only Allah knows who has most taqwa. Inna Allah alimun khabir. It is only he who has the most knowledge and who is the most aware. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam united the ummah. He kept the ummah united. He strove and he kept the ummah united until his last breath. He was concerned about this. Anas radiyallahu ta'ala who says that we were performing the Fajr Salat. And this was the last Salat during the life of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Between Fajr and Zohar, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departs from this world. This is the last Salat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not been coming out to perform salat. This was the 17th salat which Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was leading. There was 17 salah before the demise of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu led in the presence of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the instruction of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is ample evidence in this instruction that after I leave, you will be the caliph. You will inherit the khilafat, the caliphate. You will become the leader. Because during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to lead the salat. During that, the time of Abu Bakr, he used to lead the salat. During the time of Umar, he used to lead the salat. During the time of Usman, he used to lead the salah. It is the Imam al-Muslimin who leads the salah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am unable to come to the masjid. Tell Abu Bakr to lead the salah. Muru Aba Bakrin, fal yusalli bin nas. 17 salat. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu led. And Monday, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departs after the Fajr salat, between Fajr and Zuhr. He only arrives on Sunday whilst Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu is performing the salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thursday, Maghrib is his last salah. From Isha, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu begins leading the salah. So that's one salah. Friday 5, Saturday 5, Sunday 5, and Monday 1. 17 salah which he led during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Only on Sunday, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was able to somehow come into the masjid while Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu was leading the salah. And after that salah, he gave a brief khutbah. And after that, he went in his hujra again, in his apartment again, and he was not able to come out for asar, for maghrib, for isha. And at the time of fajr, when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu is leading the salah, the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain are performing salah behind Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and suddenly the curtains open. Because the hujra of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is right beside the Masjid Nabvi. Only the curtains were separating the hujra from the masjid. So the curtains open. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is felt by the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain to be at the border of the masjid. At the borderline of the masjid, he is standing in his hujra, leaning against two people. And he is looking at the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain. Anas radiyallahu anhu says that we became so happy when we felt that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is coming out. Because he was very unwell yesterday, so we became so happy that it was near that we may break our salat out of happiness and rush towards him. But they were disciplined. They knew that we were standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while they are still in salah, the curtains close. And thereafter, before the Zuhr salah, between Fajr and Zuhr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departs from this world. One of the wisdoms in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming right to the border of the masjid, was to look at the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, throw his last gaze upon them, and to see whether all the important Sahaba were performing salat behind Abu Bakr or not, and whether the Ummah will remain united after his departure on Abu Bakr or not. And after cooling his eyes, and after giving his heart this comfort that yes, the whole ummah is united on Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, did he leave this world? So my friends, on small matters, we become unhappy. We stop talking to each other. Sisters listening at home, brothers listening at home, I appeal to all of you. Our aim should not be to increase the gaps. Our aim should be to bridge the gaps. We should not look for excuses to stay away from each other. We should look for excuses to come close to each other. Especially amongst relatives. That is even more disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three stages. One stage is that two Muslims quarrel. Second stage, higher stage. Two relatives quarrel. And higher stage, parents and children quarrel. That is the highest stage. Inshallah, if we adhere to these advices derived from the Quran and Hadith, then we will find lot of barakat in our lives, lot of khair in our lives. As I always say, Allah does not take anything. Whenever we give anything, give means whenever we give that little bit of sacrifice to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we give Allah anything, we can't give anything to Allah. But just that sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us much more than what we have given Him. So we do not give away anything. I will be disgraced if I say sorry to Him. Everybody will talk about me that, oh, He was wrong and He is right. He is a loser. He is a winner. These are all thoughts planted into our hearts and minds by shaitan. Whenever a person realizes his fault and he shows his courage by saying, it was my mistake, I am sorry. He does not feel disgraced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him honor. And he is respected by all the people. That this is the person of haq. This is a man of truth. So let us live with harmony. And let us try to become instrumental in other people living with harmony. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'awana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم اجعلنا موفقين اللهم اجعلنا موفقين اللهم اجعلنا موفقين ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين اللهم كل خير لكل مسلم ومسلمة اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم من أحييته منا فأحييه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك